Thank you, Adrienne. As you know, that was in honor of Grandpa, Grandpa John. So thank you so much for doing that. And again, the coffee hour this afternoon after church is given in John's honor by the Barsamian and Nahigin and Tokatian families. And I know you're thinking, are you going to let us out now so we can enjoy that coffee fellowship? Just hang on with me with a little bit, because we really do need to hear from God's word. We really do. So please turn to Acts chapter 2. I'd like to read to you from verses 1 through 13, and then we'll move quickly through the passage together. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like a sound of the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Ah, they've had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I want you to think of the disciples, and I want you to think of your own life. The disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They'd experienced amazing things. They'd seen miracles. They'd seen healings. They'd seen exorcisms. They'd heard him say things that no one had ever said. They'd heard him teach things that seemed to correct things that they had heard their entire lives. They saw him anger those who were in authority. They saw him betrayed by one of their closest friends. They saw him die. They saw him buried. And then they saw him alive. And we were told that for 40 days he taught them that the kingdom of God is coming, that he has established his kingdom. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem. So everything was changing for them. And I think you would look at your life and say, if there's one constant in your life, it's change, isn't it? I mean, it's always changing. Whether it's jobs, whether it's age, whether it's children being born, marriages, teenagers. If that's not the epitome of change, I don't know what is. Relationships. Some are growing, some are broken. Things broken, like our phone can break and we need to get a new one. Our computers can break. Technology is changing. Everything is changing. Our roads change. We get lost if there's a block in our roads. Our neighborhoods change. Our neighbors change. Politics, I think it changes. It seems it's the same thing. But no, that's changing too. Music changes. I look at just in my own family, my own birth family, we've had new births. We have aging. Not just the older ones aging. The rest of us aging as well. We have a friend, a caregiver, die in a car accident. Things are changing all the time. If something isn't changing in your life, honestly, just wait. Because some change will happen probably in the next 3 to 5 days. If not in the next 3 to 5 days, the next week, the next year. Something's changing. It's always changing. But the The one who is constant is Jesus, and he's continuing to establish his kingdom by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit through his witnesses. That's the message of the book of Acts, is that God is keeping his promises. And in the midst of the changes in our lives, what we have to hang on to is that God is keeping his promises. So while everything is shifting, while everything is changing, just like for the disciples right there, right after Jesus had crucified and been raised and then ascended, Jesus keeps his promises. We have to believe that if God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. If God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. Padre Mugo told us last week, if you want to be wowed by God, you got to stay together. And honestly, in the midst of change, the worst thing we can do is isolate ourselves or withdraw from the fellowship of the church. Isolate ourselves and withdraw from the fellowship of our families. If in the midst of change, we don't stay together, individually, we are going to come apart. Imagine what the disciples would have done. Jesus is gone and they go off by themselves. And yes, Jesus is alive, but can you imagine trying to navigate life by yourself? But that's an easy thing to say. It's easy to write up on the screen. But it's hard, isn't it? I can exhort you, stay together, stay together. But it's hard. If we're going to stay together, I want to invite you to a very specific commitment. And that is to resolve not to be offended by a member of our church. To make a resolution, I will not be offended, even if they mean to offend me. Do you know what will happen to our church if we make a commitment to not be offended? Yeah, but Bodville, you don't know. Yes, I do. But Bodville, you're right. A resolution not to be offended precedes the commitment to stay together. And what makes this really hard is that you're a sinner surrounded by sinners who make it a practice, sometimes consciously, but absolutely unconsciously, to be offensive. Here, I'll pretend I'm Padre Domingo. Can I get an amen? Amen. Don't you wish you didn't have to say amen? Actually, you better want to say amen, because otherwise you couldn't come here. If we weren't a community of sinners, you wouldn't belong. I wouldn't belong. So if we're going to make it through change, we need to stay together. When Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. And you've got to remember, from our study in Luke, if you don't remember many things, you remember that these guys were a bunch of losers. They made mistake after mistake. Jesus had to keep telling him, "Oh, you have little faith." See, we need to stay together, but we also, in the midst of change, we need to expect good from God. Can you just say that out loud, really loudly? Expect good from God. Okay, don't be offended by that, okay? In the midst of change, it's very easy to panic. It's very easy to be afraid. It's very easy to put blame on people. It's very easy to say, no, 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 no. No, 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 this is not supposed to happen this way. See, change is making way for God to fulfill his promises. If all these changes didn't happen to the disciples, there would be no coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us really think, oh, no, it would have been, you can keep the Holy Spirit. I'd rather have Jesus. I wish I could have just been with him for 3 years and just been with Jesus, physically seen him, touched him. And I just urge you, stick with us in the book of Acts. If you think that, get ready to be corrected. Because the constant presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, wherever you go, for all believers everywhere throughout the earth, for all time, is far superior to the physical presence of Jesus Christ on planet Earth for 33 years. See, God promised he would send the Holy Spirit. And in order for that to happen, Jesus had to suffer. Jesus had to be raised. And Jesus had to be enthroned at the right hand of God. So there's hope. To expect good from God is to believe that he keeps his promises. Some of you right now are in the middle of circumstances, in the middle of some change, where you don't expect good from God. Let's say this again to each other. Expect good from God. There was a song when I was in college, a guy named Phil Keaggy. Disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, now I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. I hated that song. One letter. Where's your disappointment this morning? It's probably in somebody. Maybe even somebody that you just made a commitment to not be offended by. Disappointment. His appointment. How would your view of life change if you were to take your list of disappointments and change the title to his appointments? How would it be different? Expect good from God. In the midst of change, believe that God is keeping his promises. We want to offer an unconditional yes to God. I mean, imagine being in that room all together. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, and they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They heard this sound, and a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard their own language being spoken. I promise you, when they got up that morning and they gathered for prayer together, they did not expect a whirlwind to come through. They did not expect to see what looked like a flame of fire sitting on top of their heads. And I think this is the whole 120 that were gathered that we talked about from chapter 1. Not just the 12 that were chosen as apostles. I think they were all there. They're all looking. The room is shaking because of the wind. And all of a sudden, everybody starts speaking. And it's not gibberish, but all these different dialects from all over the known world. I mean, if you look here, it starts in the east with Medes, people from Parthia, Elam, where Iran is right now. And then it moves, and you come to the areas around Jerusalem and Judea. Then you get Pontus, Cappadocia, Phrygia, then down to Egypt and up into Asia, Pamphylia, Crete, Libya, Cyrene, even got Rome in there, that from east to west, people are hearing praises to God. Did they expect that morning? I can imagine someone in the group or someone outside saying, whoa, 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 what's going on? We can't do that. This has never happened before. This isn't how we do it. We pray neat. Oh, they weren't Presbyterians, but they might have said, we do things in order. We do things very calmly here. Well, I promise you, there was nothing calm about this. But in the midst of change, if we're going to experience God keeping his promises, it comes again with a prior commitment, not just to be not offended by those around you, but a prior commitment to say yes to God, no matter what. Whatever the cost, whatever the change, whatever, my answer to God is, hopefully a little stronger than that, my answer to God is
yes.
And it's easy to say in a group, but there are going to be moments in the midst of your change where this is not what I signed up for, God. This person is not what I signed up for. This family is not what I said. This church is not what I signed up for. The way this is going is not what I signed up for. And your answer is yes. 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 And it's to God. We receive God's gifts by faith. And many times that yes will be into a fog where we don't see the end. He sees the end from the beginning. But we don't. We don't. But you don't just fall in line. You don't just keep your mouth shut and buck up. You ask questions. Because in the midst of change, as God is keeping his promises, it's not clear to us what's going on frequently. Have you ever experienced that? God is doing something. You actually believe he's doing something, but you're also saying, I don't get it. I don't get it. And these words that are used for the people witnessing the coming of the Holy Spirit, utterly amazed, perplexed. What does this mean? That's an absolutely legitimate question. You say to God, God, what's going on? What is going on? I don't understand. And he does not look at you and say, oh, come on, give me a break. Where's your faith? Faith asks questions. Faith says, gives an unconditional yes to God, and then says, what does it mean? But asking a question is very different than mocking, isn't it? What's that? Really? You don't want to be caught doing that with God. And I know you're like me and you have done that to God. And you have mocked the way he keeps some of his promises with some of his people. And maybe even in your own life, you just think, yeah, whatever. But faith can ask questions. They've had too much wine. Don't think you can figure out. Don't think you can figure out what God is doing by explaining it with human reasons. Okay? Don't think that you're so smart. I'm saying it to myself, Greg, don't think you're so smart that you can figure everything out and attribute it to something that's so off, they're just drunk. No wonder. Yeah, that's why we're hearing God's word spoken in 14 different languages, because they're drunk. And honestly, that's how foolish you and I sound when we mock God. So go ahead and ask questions. But we remember, in the midst of change, as God's fulfilling his promises, we stay together. We stay together. We expect good from God. We offer an unconditional yes to God. We ask questions, but we don't mock. They asked, what's going on? And next week, we're going to hear how Peter explains what's going on. But God kept his promise. God kept his promise to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed to be seated at the right hand of God, ruling. So let's just say yes to him. Amen. I know we're running long, but I do want us to sing one time through our final song together. So please stand. We'll sing one time through, Spirit of the Living God.